ARVs and other forms of ARV-based prevention. The new generation of microbicides currently being tested have a good chance of succeeding because they contain active drugs. The results from the first of these trials, CAPRISA, will be announced tomorrow. Researchers are also building on important lessons from the early microbicide trials. They now understand that we need a range of products because people have a wide range of needs. For instance, some women can't or won't use a gel every day. So researchers are studying long-acting products that can be delivered by vaginal rings that stay in place for a month or more. Efficacy trials on one ring are scheduled to begin next year. If it works, it could help overcome some of the adherence problems we've seen in early microbicide trials. Another promising area of research is pre-exposure prophylaxis, or PrEP, a daily pill or long-lasting injection. This would put the power of prevention into the hands of women who can't use microbicides and people at high risk, such as injecting drug users and men who have sex with men. Later this year, researchers in London will begin a new study of the oral treatment drug rilpivirine to see if it can be used as a long-lasting injection for PrEP. When we get results from these studies, we should be ready to act right away. But right now, we're not doing that. Let's say we got a positive result from one of these new tools in the near future. Between gaining regulatory approval, raising money, training staff, and other activities, using the normal approach, it would likely take at least 6 years to scale it up. That's unacceptable. When we get positive results, we need to figure out how to launch a large community trial almost immediately. We let time go by with male circumcision, and I hope we don't do that again with ARV-based prevention. Effective ARV-based prevention would be a big advance, but the ultimate prevention tool, of course, is a vaccine. For years, many questioned whether it was possible to prevent acquisition of HIV with a vaccine. The results from the RV-144 trial in Thailand last year gave us the answer. It is possible. We've never had that kind of evidence before, and it's having a profound effect on the way vaccine research is done. Researchers are studying those Thai samples to look for correlates. Whatever they find there, it will help guide research and drive us towards the most promising candidates for future trials. There are other exciting developments in the vaccine field. In this last year, both the NIH Vaccine Research Center and the International AIDS Vaccine Initiative have isolated very potent antibodies that can neutralize almost all the strains of the virus. This is a first step in making a vaccine that can stimulate the body to produce those antibodies. These are promising ideas, but right now it takes too long to turn ideas into products. So far, only three vaccine concepts have undergone clinical efficacy testing. The first was in 2003. The most recent to finish was the Thai trial that finished in 2009. During that six-year span, nearly 17 million people were infected with HIV. That's why we need to speed up the development process for all the new tools without compromising safety or the time frame to get the products licensed. Researchers can help by designing trials that require fewer participants, involve earlier reviews of the data, and target the populations with the highest incidence. At the same time, the agencies that regulate trials can be more receptive to new ideas, and pharmaceutical companies can do more to allow direct comparisons of their products. Vaccines, new diagnostics, and ARV-based prevention are some of the tools I'm excited about. It's impossible to know which of these will break through, but with just a few of them, the impact would be phenomenal. To illustrate this impact, our foundation worked with people at the Imperial College in London to look at computer models for different locations and look at the impact for